Well, we are living in a culture of contradictions, not unique actually to us here and now, because wherever you find a culture, the culture is there because there are people, and we as people are full of contradictions. One of the contradictions in our culture has to do with being selfish. Being selfish is looked down upon, but we hold up philanthropists who give away money and do wonderful things, and yet they probably didn't get to the situation they're in, the position they're in, to be able to give money away and do those things without looking out for number one, in which case was themselves. We're constantly being told, you got this, you can do this, put your mind to it, have self-esteem. Today's decisions decide tomorrow. Make it happen. Take the bull by the horns. And then we're also saying, oh, don't be selfish, be concerned with others. And the way we bring those together, the way we meld those and make those work, is that we remain selfish even in our service of others. Why do philanthropists and people who give money away and do things do what they're doing? Well, in all likelihood, it's probably connected to money. Tax breaks, tax shelters. If no money is involved, at the least, which is the most, it makes them feel good about themselves. Maybe they don't have a religion where it's called karma, but it's about feeling good about themselves. So at the end of the day, they can feel justified and content because they lived a life looking out for number one. It's not unique to our culture or any other culture. It is ingrained in us by heredity. Sons of Adam. Adam had it all. He was in paradise. God said, here it is. Except for this one tree. Everything is yours. Except for this one tree. And Adam said, I think you're trying to keep good from me. And so he ate. And so ever since then, everyone born looks out for number one, themselves, to seek their own good in their own way. And we even create cultures and societies that cultivate that and yet try and temper it and make it not so ugly. Addiction was mentioned a minute ago in the prayer, Forever Gospel Mission. It's so easy to look at those who are addicted to substances and go, don't they realize they're ruining their lives? No, because they're living life. If it's about them and pleasure and what pleases them, then on that basis, in this culture, who are you to say they're wrong? But you look at what's going on and you see them ruining their lives. Adults look at teenagers in particular and kids and shake their heads at why these kids are so concerned about their reputation and what people think of them. Right, back in the day, it was simply an issue of popularity, and that's still the case. Of course, now it all happens through social media and all these things that are constantly there. Kids are either full of themselves or depressed because of how many likes they have or don't have. Well, adults, as you point that finger, there better be a mirror in front of you. Because at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, what we're concerned about is number one. A different way of saying that is, we're concerned about our name and making a name for ourselves. Again, that could be seen as a positive, good thing in our culture, right? Go out there and make a name for yourself, but that's completely and utterly selfish. Well, go out there and make a name for yourself so long as along the way you're not addicted to anything, don't beat anyone, and you know, you give some money and do some good things also. We are just full of contradictions because we're full of confusion. We are to be looking out for number one. The one around whom the universe rotates. You thought that was around you. I often think it's around me. You know how to put a light bulb in, right? I just hold it up, and as the whole world rotates around me, it just goes right in place. We're confused, though. How in the world, how in the cosmos, how in the, if we go with the standard way of thinking, Miguel, do you want to come sit with Miguel? Yes, Eduardo, feel free to come forward and sit next to Miguel. It's okay, I can talk, you can get up and move, we're still okay, no lightning coming down. And we can probably leave the AC at whatever it is at, 72 or 73, before people melt, because I've seen that happen. But we think it's around, it revolves around us, and we're confused, because how in the world could we possibly think all that is revolves around any single one of us? You go, of course we couldn't. Well, why would we think it revolves around all of us even collectively? Because we didn't even bring us into existence collectively. So how could it possibly be about us or revolve around us? It can't, and it doesn't. See, we're confused. And when you start from a confused premise, you end up full of contradictions, an addict, which we all are. We're all addicted to pleasing self, to our name being made great. Now, why am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about this morning because this is exactly what was going on and what the problem was with all of those descended from Noah and his sons who decided to gather together on a plain and build a tower to heaven. What were they doing? God came and dispersed them, confused their languages. What were they doing? What's so wrong with that? Well, it was their version of Adam's version of eating the fruit. It was their version of drug addiction, climbing the corporate ladder, cheating or not cheating, doing whatever it takes to get you ahead and get a name for yourself. Being mean to people at school or nice to people at school so you get more likes and have more friends. Whatever. It was their version of what? Of making a name for themselves. So I'm talking about it because it's in our passage here this morning in Genesis 11. And it's the very desire that each one of us in this room has to make a name for ourselves, to have popularity, to be known, to be successful, to live the life. Well, as we look at children in school, those of us who are older, and we know that school is fleeting, and within a year or two of high school, you wouldn't even know the people you went to school with anymore or be around them. And where you stood back then won't matter. This life is fleeting. And any name we might have in any career or any sports or politics or anything else is going to come to an end. but we could actually have a name for ourselves that endures. When that name is given to us by the one who's given us life. When we trust the maker of heaven and earth, and now we specifically know we come before him and trust him because of his son, Jesus, who he sent. And we seek the name of Jesus to be glorified. By grace through faith in Christ, the Christian is given a name written on a rock. So we can actually have a name for ourselves, but not the way that we tend to think we would get it. We can have it when we have a right understanding of why we're even here, what our purpose is, which is connected to how we got here and what happens when we die. I'm going to turn to Genesis 11 in a moment, but what I want to do this morning is see how what's going on in Genesis 11 in the Tower of Babel, in making a name for themselves, is not some weird what's going on here kind of thing, but it's a theme throughout Scripture that goes all the way through to this Jewish carpenter being given the name above every name, that at his name every knee will bow, and that through faith in him, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, each one who lives life by faith, and as it says in Revelation, conquers, overcomes this life, is given a name, an everlasting one. So we'll be in Genesis 11, but I really need to take you through a number of different little passages through Scripture this morning. I will not go through all of them that are on the outline. Again, they are there for you to go home and say, is that really what's going on here? Search the Scriptures. Follow up on these and see what's going on. And in doing all of that, what I want to do this morning is challenge you. About whose name you're seeking glory for. Yours or the one around whom the universe revolves? Jesus said, whoever seeks to gain his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will gain it. The Lord's ways are contrary to our ways. It doesn't happen the way we think it would happen. We rebel and we were repulsed at the idea of serving. And yet, when you serve one who demonstrates his own love and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that service is the greatest gift and brings with it a lasting name for ourselves that we then, like the song said, know we are unworthy of. Oh, we have worth. We've been created, not burped out by the universe and here by accident or chance. We've been created in his image, in the womb. We have worth and value. But to come before him and call him Father, we are unworthy. And so the Son has come and been given the name above every name. You are seeking a name for yourself. It happens by default. I don't want you to leave here this morning without considering that you're doing that, how you're doing that. And whose name is it that you're seeking glory for? Join me in prayer. Father, we live and breathe by your mercy. As we come now to your word, living and active, reveal yourself to us, gracious and merciful Father, and grant us to see ourselves rightly and honestly. that we would fall at the feet of Jesus, and that he would be our life. And we would do all things in his name for his glory, knowing that what you lavish upon us in him now and what you will lavish upon us in eternity is far, far greater than what we could ever imagine or want for ourselves even. Father, have mercy upon each one of us here to trust you, to trust you as the maker of heaven and earth who is good. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we get to Genesis 11 and what they were after and why that was wrong in building a Tower of Babel, I just want to take you briefly to chapter 5 of Genesis. When we get to chapter 5, we've already had the Lord who made male and female in his image and all the creatures and all the birds, and he gave Adam and Eve paradise. They rebelled. Cain has killed Abel. And in the beginning of chapter 5, we have now a remembering, a restating, and a recollection of the story, the generations of Adam. In 5:1, this is the book, the Toledoth, the generations, the genealogies, the story of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. He blessed them and named them man when they were created. See, God named male and female man. Now, there's some things going on here with the word name. I'm going to show you in a minute, but it's also happening with man. The word for man is the word for Adam. So when you're reading this in Hebrew, you have to figure out by context whether he's speaking specifically of Adam, the first man, or man in general. So the first man's name was man, but male and female were named man, mankind, created in the image of God. I have in-laws 2, 3, 4 times removed, whatever, down there. There's an uncle, and he's the youngest of a bunch of kids, and his name is Boy. Now, I'm from New Jersey, and we say guys, you guys, and it means guys and girls, right? In Texas, they say y'all or all y'all. Well, growing up in New Jersey, where we say, hey, guys, I knew 2 people over the course of my life named Guy. So this isn't really a foreign concept to us. It's lost on us reading the English that Adam's name is man, and God named man. Now, I'm not going to take you there, but you could also recall that Adam got to name all the animals. Naming is significant. And names are significant in Scripture. But there's this restating of the generations of Adam, starting with when God made male and female in his likeness, 5:1. Verse 2, he created them. He blessed them, and he named them. Blessing is goodness from God. He lavished goodness upon them. He said, may all goodness be upon you and with you. But then man, that is Adam, the first man, said, no, I think you're holding good from me, so I'm going to do this my way. And so we have this book of the generations here. And then you notice something else as we're going along. In chapter 9, starting in verse 26, Now, this is after the flood and the ark, and Noah comes out, and Ham, instead of covering his father's shame, exposes it. But Shem and Japheth cover it. And Noah pronounces a blessing in verse 26. He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." Now, remember who's first hearing this. The Israelites brought us slavery in Egypt, headed for the land of Canaan. So they're tracking with all these things more easily than we are. We have to work for it. And again, they're hearing this in Hebrew. So when they hear Adam and man, they're hearing the same word. Well, guess what? When they hear Shem and they hear the word for name, they're hearing the same word also. Because Shem's name is name. Well, isn't that interesting? Well, then we also notice with Shem, not going to read all of this, but in 10:21, we have to Shem, or to name, also the father of all the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth. Children were born. The sons of Name were. He gets a genealogy here. And down in verse 25, to Eber were born two sons. This is 10:25. The name of the one was Peleg. For in his days, the earth was divided. Divided? Divided in what way? Context, context, context. We've seen hints of this already. If we were to back up to another genealogy, we would see that, oh, after Seth was born, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And then there was this guy, Enoch, who walked with the Lord and was no more. And then we could look at Noah. And his father names him Noah, saying, he will bring us rest. Rest from what? Relief, deliverance from the curse that came about after Adam rebelled. So there's a division in those days. What's the division? On those who call upon the name of the Lord versus those who, oh, guess what comes next? The Tower of Babel. Look in chapter 11 now. After these descendants, the generations of the sons of Noah in chapter 10, where Nam or Shem has his genealogy there, his descendants there. We're told where these all the nations and lands came with these people. Then you move down to chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us. That harkens back to Genesis chapter 1 where God said, let us. But now this is the people gathered together. Let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. You see what's going on there? They're going to make a name for themselves. Now, God literally named us at the beginning. But there's also a point in that. When it comes to making a name or bestowing what is good and a blessing, that's on the one who made us. But like Adam, they said, oh no, we're going to seek good our way. You know, Frank Sinatra had a song, I'm going to do it my way. And he lived in a city. I'm not making connections to this city, but that's what they were doing. It's simple. It's obvious. They sought in their own strength, in their own will, in their own way, according to their knowledge and their discernment, They were going to bring about good for themselves, and it was the exact opposite of what the one who made them had commanded and what he intended. He's intended good from the very beginning. And though sin exists here, and there is death, they lived and they died, they lived and they died, all of that's a consequence. Though there is effort put forth to grow things, but thorn and thistles come up, the curse. He who created and blessed and brought about was very good, still said, scatter, disperse, multiply, fill this earth that I made. And yeah, you're going to toil, and there's going to be conflict, and there's going to be murder, and there's going to be death. But one day, Genesis 3:15, one day, a male descendant from the woman will conquer, crush, be victorious over the one who instigated the rebellion that Adam willingly engaged in. But no, they said, come on, come together, and we are going to build, and we are going to make a name for ourselves. When you put that not simply into common vernacular, we know what that means, but into the context of what's going on in Scripture, you see what you have here is arrogant, proud, willful selfishness, rebellion against the one who made them, in order that they could bring about a situation where they would have notoriety, where they would make achievements for themselves and bring about good for themselves. Now remember who's originally hearing this? The Israelites, who have just been delivered from slavery in Egypt. They're hearing all this, and not only do they, like we, have what just came before in these passages, and have what comes after, like we do, because you know what comes next? After the Tower of Babel, in verse 10, these are the generations of Name, when Name was 100 years old. Shem gets another genealogy. Why? Well, if you were to read all through that genealogy with all these wonderful, difficult names to pronounce and get through chapter 11, in the end, there's another guy that shows up. Abram. Abram is a descendant of Shem. And those of you who know some things about Abram, you'll know that later on, God gives Abram a new name. But look what it says here in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now Yahweh said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house. Talk about leaving all the things that are going to set you up for success to make a name for yourself in life. He said, leave it all. Go. Verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. But the original audience had very fresh on their minds what we can have also in understanding the context and all that's going on here with the issue of name, what we have in Exodus. So turn to Exodus chapter 20. And all you Bible scholars out there are going, oh, that's the chapter with the Ten Commandments. That's right. In Exodus 20, verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Then we look over to verse 24. An altar of earth you shall make for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. You see again the connection between name and blessing, name and blessing. There's a choice. There's a division to be had now, just as there was back in the days of Peleg, the son of Naam. Will you choose to make a name for yourself, seeking to make good for yourself in your way, as if you were master of the universe? Or will we trust the one who made heaven and earth to know what's good, to bring about goodness for you? I didn't even include these passages. If you go on to Deuteronomy, it talks about the Lord says, well, my name. But look over here in 23. Watch this now. In Exodus 23. Starting in verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you. So this is the Israelites brought out of slavery in Egypt. They're out in the wilderness and they're headed for the land of Canaan, the land that was mentioned back in Genesis that we read when we read the blessing upon Naam, upon Shem. And he says, I will send an angel. Literally, it's messenger. One who brings the word of God. I will send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to a place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. For my name is in him. It's not just a matter of what was going on there in Genesis 11:4 that they were being selfish and trying to make a name for themselves, although that was going on, but it was a complete and utter rebellion against the one who named them mankind to begin with. The one who made and named and blessed. And said, I'm going to get good. We're going to get good for us our way. And now the Lord is bringing the Israelites here in Exodus out of Egypt to the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, you know, kind of like a paradise. That ring any bells? Yeah, what Adam and Eve had. And he's going to bring them good if they will honor his name. For sake of attention span, clarity, and time, I could take you to Isaiah to show you where we get what we get when we jump to now Philippians, to a well-known passage that I am praying for each of you will now explode with meaning to a greater degree than before I started talking this morning. None of us probably hear people, and maybe we ourselves don't even talk to our kids and say, you should aspire to be a septic pumper person, sanitation engineer, garbage collector, janitor in a school, or go to another country where there is still slavery and offer yourself as a bond servant. Oh, that's not the way ahead. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus gets the name. Jesus gets the name. No matter what you ever do or think, Jesus gets the name and he will get the name. But while you live and breathe, if you turn to him, you get a name. Child of God, beloved, Holy One, which is saint. And I will not take you there myself, but you go and look. A new name, Revelation. And the passage read for us this morning from Isaiah, they were told, your Savior will come. You'll be called by a new name. And in Revelation to the church, the people who have faith in Christ together in one location, Jesus told them, those who continue to the end, I will give you a new name. You want a name for yourself? You do. We all do. Where are you going to find it? Where are you going to seek it? I don't know if I still have it or not, but I had a book. My mom bought it because my name was in it. Who's who among high school graduates back in the dark ages when my car had stone wheels? Who cares what my GPA was? Who cares what clubs I was in? Literally, who cares? No one. No one cares. Unless I was a Christian back then. And I worked to be a good student and a diligent student and get good grades, doing it all to the glory of God the Father in the name of Jesus. Then it actually counts eternally. Then it matters for forever. Who cares if I'm a heart surgeon? Well, the person who's getting heart surgery in their family. But you know, that person's still going to die. So if I pull up with a stinky truck and empty the Johnny on the spot, the honey bucket, the plastic little telephone booth that sits there on my cul-de-sac and has been there for 3 years because the house still isn't done, I'm not bitter about that. I'm actually not, because it's three houses away and it's all closed in. But every now and then I'll be outside and I'll be like, what's that smell? Oh, they're pumping the honey bucket. What does your kid do?
Sanitation specialist.
Who cares what they do? Who cares what you've accomplished? when you're gone? Who cares who knew your name? Unless it's Jesus. The one who's been given the name above every name. One more passage that I hope gains fuller meaning now. Having started out talking about everyone who gathered together in the plain of Shinar to build a tower to heaven. Colossians chapter 3. Don't worry, Rich, I won't steal your thunder. Verse 17, we know it well, don't we? It's like the young kids were using that verse for a while for something here. I have a terrible memory about the details, but whatever you do, verse 17, Colossians chapter 3, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, Jesus wasn't around when they were on that plane building that tower, but he was coming. And the Lord promised that. Genesis 3:15. He wasn't around, but he was coming. And they had the option back then, do I wait upon the Lord and endure the curse, but seek his glory, or do I take that bull by the horns? Fill myself up with self-esteem and make something of myself and make something for myself. Well, they made a choice. And you and I make a choice. Every time we utter a word or do anything. For whose name are you doing it? You're not wrong in wanting a lasting name for yourself. But you are wrong in seeking it in the things that are here today, gone tomorrow. Just as you know the young kids with the phones that are crazy glued to their hands and their faces who are so concerned about their likes and what's in and what's out. I mean, mom jeans are back in. Really? Neon colors from the 80s are back in. Really? Who cares? Come on, kid. Come on, adults. Why are you doing what you do and saying what you're saying? Why are you running after what you're running after? You want a name for yourself. You want a lasting name? It's in Jesus. You want good for yourself? He's got a greater good for you than you could ever imagine. And he secured it for you who have faith in him. And the Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And when he returns to give us that name that no one else knows, and he brings about the new heavens and the new earth, just like the 40-year-old, we're going to be going, why did I care so much about who's who among who back in 80-something? It's not going to matter. It's the rearview mirror. It's a blip on the screen. You're at the amusement park. You're at the beach. You're in the mountains. The ride that you whined and complained about is over. Jesus secures your name. Stop trying to secure it yourself. Every word and deed. For those of you who this is like, yeah, I'm there with you. I believe this, but this is cool. This is an encouragement. You haven't arrived yet. You may have stopped dropping F-bombs, but every word, don't speak it unless it honors him. You may have stopped drinking, chewing, and hanging out and dancing with those who do, but every deed. That's what glorifies Christ. And that's what those who need to know him around us need to see. And that's what'll stand out. Because Philippians chapter 2, someone humbling themselves, serving at great cost, great pain, and great loss. Where do we find those? Do you know how much money Bill Gates has given away? Do you know how much money Bill Gates spends in a week on himself? We want what everyone on that field wanted, a name for ourselves. Popularity, notoriety, accomplishment, renown, name on a plaque, name in a book, name, household name. Those will all pass away. But the name that Jesus gives will never pass away. This isn't a promise of your best life now and a better job and a raise and a fixed marriage and everything else, and the Supreme Court keeps going and overturns all kinds of other stuff and America ends up the promised land again. It's not about that. It's about eternity. It's about the fact that we need a new heart. As Moses makes clear to the Israelites in the desert in Deuteronomy. Because our natural tendency of our own heart is to look out for number one. And that number one is me, of course. There's a way it seems right to man, its end, it leads to death. Oh, we can point at the addicts. But why are they wrong if we're here by amazing amount of chance situations exploding. And we make life for ourselves, whatever we make it. And when we're gone, we're gone. Why are they wrong? Why are they throwing their lives away? Well, they are. But so is Mr. and Mrs. in the White House with the white picket fence with 2.5 kids. And no one beats anyone, and the dog doesn't get kicked, and the grades are good, and everyone smiles. If they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and if His name being honored isn't the purpose of their life, they're building a Tower of Babel. And that's our tendency. Like the kids on the playground or in school or us adults in whatever scenario we find ourselves in. We want to make a name for ourselves instead of concerning ourselves with the name of Jesus when He's the one who served to death that we could call the maker of heaven and earth Father. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, deliver us, me, us from us. Grant us to have a correct view of ourselves. That we are needy and dependent, finite, that life is fleeting and that we are not in control. Grant us in that, Father, not to be depressed or discouraged, but in that to look to You and know that You are not needy. You have no beginning and no end. You are all-knowing, all-powerful. You are good. Grant us, Father, to believe and to live for Jesus, your greatest demonstration of your goodness, bringing that which we don't deserve and lavishing blessing upon people who have worth but are unworthy of you. Through your Son who willingly came, was fully a man, real flesh and blood, still is, though in a glorified body. And he came and he obeyed and he suffered and he died in our place. That's why you have given him the name above every name. Father, grant us to look to him, to stop building sandcastles, but to live for your kingdom and your glory, and know the sufficiency of your grace and peace in the midst of a hurting and broke world. Grant that we would trust you to deal with our future, near and far. In Jesus, your Son, that he would be our Lord and Savior, that we would seek in every thought, word, and deed to give glory to you in his name. And it's in his name that we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.